Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 3, and we've been looking at verse number 12, which says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you." So we've been looking at this issue of the love that the Apostle Paul is saying that the members of the body of Christ should be displaying towards each other and towards all men. And we're coming now to a point of where the Apostle Paul is going to be holding up himself, Silas, and Timothy as the example to them, where it says, "even as we do towards you." So Paul making this reference of how they were functioning, one, when they were with them, and also you think of after that point, you know, looking at things of when Timothy went to them, how he functioned with them, how even as they've been writing to this assembly, how they're demonstrating this love. And this goes back to this whole issue of how the Apostle Paul talks about the fact that he is a pattern for the members of the body of Christ on how it is that we are to live the life that God intends for us to live during this dispensation. And we can see here, let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter number 1, where we're going to see Paul actually state this issue of him being this pattern here. We're going to look here at verses 15 and 16 of 1 Timothy chapter number 1. It says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Now, when we look at this issue of Paul identifying himself as a pattern related to this issue of the long suffering, related to the issue of the salvation of sinners, we know that Paul is not talking about the fact of exactly what happened to him. Because if we were looking for that pattern of, and saying, okay, well, Paul was saved in this manner, we see Paul's salvation recorded in Acts chapter number 9 when he's on the road to Damascus and the Lord Jesus Christ appears to him from heaven and, you know, he has a whole conversation with him, and there is where his salvation occurs. That if this was the pattern that was being said, we would all have to be waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to appear to us from the heavenly places. That's not what the pattern actually is. The pattern for us that's laid out is what we see written out in the scriptures. What's written out in his epistles, Romans through Philemon, this is the pattern that has been given to us. So when he talks about the issue of the salvation and the pattern of it, the pattern is laid out in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And when a person puts their trust in that and that alone, they have salvation today. That's the pattern that the Apostle Paul is laying out and saying that this is what has been given to us. So that way we can have life everlasting. A term, you know, eternal life is another way that that is said in several other passages. And that guarantee of that eternal life of where we're going to be with him, ruling and reigning in the heavenly places for all of eternity. And that is such a glorious thing, and is one of those things that should help to motivate us to want to share this message with individuals, so that way they can have access to this same thing. Because God wants all of mankind to have salvation. Now, we also see how Paul lays this out related to the practical sense of things. If we go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, and we're going to see a verse here that Paul gives us that shows the thing from the practical sense, where 1 Timothy chapter 1, you know, the pattern to life everlasting, that's talking about some things related to the position of things. From the practical side of things, we have 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, of be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And we know that the Apostle Paul, in his epistles, followed Christ through the grace of God. And so, we, as the members of the body of Christ, this is how we are to be following Christ, is through the things of the grace of God. And you see how many individuals in the world think that they're doing the right thing by trying to put themselves under the law system, and all they're doing is creating problems for themselves, because the only individual that could ever have followed all of the things that were written in the law was the Lord Jesus Christ. You see how in Israel, you know, when God's dealing with them, you know, through, you know, the book of Exodus and continuing on, and, you know, through all the period of the judges and the kings and the prophets, and then in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that you see how all throughout that time, as the laws there in place, that there was just continued failure after failure after failure, following the things of the law. You even see how the book of Judges ends when it talks about how everyone was doing that which was right in their own sight. So they were not doing the things that God intended them to do. They were doing all the things that they thought was the right thing. They were going farther and farther away from the things of God. The Apostle Paul lays out all of the doctrine that we need, and gives us the information of this is how to live your life, and gives us that example that we could see. And that's why, as he's writing to this assembly in Thessalonica, that he can talk about this love that had been demonstrated, and talk about how they had demonstrated, when it says, even as we do, that they can say, okay, we see how Paul was doing these things, and because we could see that, then we know that this is how we should be doing things. Because Paul continuously holds himself up as this issue of this is how you are to do things. You know, you see even in his last epistle, let's turn over to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. As he's writing here to Timothy and talking about, you know, giving them the warnings of what was going to come in this dispensation, you see how he holds up the things of the Timothy of that you had seen these things go on. And here in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, we're going to start here verse number 10. Says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, where persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now, as he's writing here to Timothy to try to encourage him to be standing fast in the truth that had been given unto him, you see how he takes him back to all of these different things that he had witnessed and observed of what was going on in the life of the Apostle Paul, and holding them up to say that these are the things that are going to be happening unto you, Timothy. You're going to be experiencing these things. You're going to be experiencing problems like this in your life, all because of the stand that you're taking for the Word of God. All because of the fact that you're teaching this message that had been committed unto you. All because you're living that life that's demonstrating the love toward others that the grace of God speaks of. Because it's only the grace of God that really can show that love. Because, and we've talked about how, from man's point of view, that the love that would be there, unfortunately, man in the flesh always puts a condition on what the love is. And we see how God doesn't put that thing. God wants it towards all of mankind. That's why you see the passages that are written in these patterns that are laid out, these examples. And when Paul is saying about that they were doing this towards these saints in Thessalonica, it reminds individuals of some other times that Paul is writing this in his epistles and identifying the issue of that love being demonstrated. We can see, for example, let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. And this is a passage we've looked at this a couple times in this related to this example of the love that Paul is speaking of here. And we're going to read here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. We're going to read here verses 15 and 16. That say, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. So, you see how Paul is giving this instruction to the assembly of Corinth about that they're to be submitting themselves unto individuals that are following this pattern, that they're the ones that are helping them in this labor. And then he says, okay, well, here's an individual that I'm holding up to say that this is what that pattern is. And he holds up the household of Stephanas that has dedicated their life towards the ministry of the saints, towards taking care of the members of the body of Christ. So he could say, here is this group that, you know, is doing the things that I'm asking you to do. Here's this pattern. Here's how you should be living your life, and go and follow them and do everything you can to be able to help them and for you to be doing the exact same things in that care. We turn over here to Galatians chapter number 6. And as we're looking at this, we can see how all of these things are written, you know, towards the end of some of these epistles, after he's laid out doctrinal information for them, so that way they can understand, here's what I need to know, and then here's how, if I know this and I'm applying it to my life properly, here's how it's going to actually play out in my life if I'm doing what God intends. And that's what we see here in Galatians chapter number 6, verse number 10, where it says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So Paul's describing here and saying that we're to be doing good unto all men, and then there's supposed to be a special level of this good that's being done towards individuals, and it's towards those who are part of the household of faith. Those individuals who are the members of the body of Christ who put their trust in the gospel message, which we just talked about a few minutes ago, that those are the individuals that we're to really be making sure that we are doing the things that are demonstrating that love toward each other. And that is, you know, we talked about it before, of how that is such a hard thing for individuals to do at times because of the fact that there are things in, you know, the natural man that try to prevent that love from being displayed. And it's very easy for individuals to fall into that trap and to not be demonstrating that love toward each other. And we have to be kind of watching ourselves and making sure that we are demonstrating that love toward each other. And that idea of the household of faith, you see how Paul describes that issue of the faith over in, let's go to Ephesians chapter number 4. Now we know that the source of faith is the Word of God, because in the book of Romans it talks about how, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it's the Word of God which is going to produce faith in the life of a believer. And that's can only happen in a believer because the Word of God can only have an impact on somebody who has put their trust in the gospel message, because they have the Spirit in them and the Spirit can communicate with them, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The unsaved individual doesn't have the Spirit in them, so they cannot get the spiritual benefits from what the Word of God is actually saying to them. And they cannot have that faith that is supposed to come from the Word of God because the Word can't be built up in them. But we see how the whole issue of the members of the body of Christ, the result is that there's to be a unity that comes about with these things. And that's what we're looking here at in Ephesians chapter number 4. And we're going to read here verses 4, 5, and 6. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. These are the things that show the unity that we have as the members of the body of Christ. And as the members of the body of Christ, we are to be functioning together in a way that we can actually, you know, be doing the things that God intends, and the result of it coming out is that love. Now, we're here, let's just skip down here to verse number 16 of Ephesians chapter number 4, because it's going to talk about the body's functioning here when it says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So we see the body, and it talks about how the body is to be fitly joined together. So if the body is functioning properly, and you look at it from the aspect of, you know, as you're trying to put, you know, if you're taking a piece of furniture and you are, you know, if you buy one of those things that comes in the box, you have to assemble all the pieces of it, that it gets to be a sturdy piece of furniture when all of the pieces are as tight together as they can, what you can say is fitly joined together. If there's gaps in the pieces, you know, the whatever the piece of furniture is not going to be functioning properly. You know, and you know, one, you also have to make sure you're using all the parts and not having ones left over, because then there's no way that it could be fitly joined together. And that's another piece of the thing of things that all of the members of the body of Christ are necessary. And we're to be demonstrating that love toward each other in equal manners toward each other. And that's where some of those things really become difficult. And we've talked about how, you know, the unfortunate thing is in the natural man, there are things that are going to come up. There are going to be barriers there that are going to say, well, you know, I can't have that same love towards this person because of X. And the results that come from that is that, well, now I'm not demonstrating the things that God would want me to do. I'm not living the life that God would intend for the members of the body of Christ to live. And the result is that, you know, I'm not being pleasing to Him in the way that I should be if I was truly functioning according to the pattern that the Apostle Paul lays out in his epistles. And that's why our instruction of the study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Why that is so important? Because we need to be taking in the word of God, rightly divided, applying it to our lives, so that way we can be making sure that we are functioning according to the doctrine that has been given to us in this dispensation. Now we're going to stop here. We're going to pick up next week, starting in verse number 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. And as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some charts to help you in your study of God's Word. We have audio files of some of our Sunday messages. We have information on how to also watch our Sunday services live as they're being broadcast on Facebook. Information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions, comments about anything at our broadcast, anything you see on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.